Know what you believe so you can live what you believe. And then you'll have one life, the life you believe in and the life you live, instead of two lives, which doesn't work very well. Things you believe and the way you live. They should be the same thing. What you believe and what you live. So we have an affirmation of faith each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church, and today's from 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The reading of God's Word today is from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, just the first four verses. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And I might add, that can be read another way. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. A couple of questions have come up recently, and we're going to talk about those questions today. But I'm going to tell you the right answer right now up front. I don't want to leave anyone hanging on these questions. I don't want anyone leaving worship unsure as to the answer. So I'm going to give you the answer right now. The answer is Jesus. It reminds me of that story about the pastor who was having a children's moment during the worship service. So he asked the children a question, trying to get them involved in the lesson. And the pastor asked, "What has a bushy tail and climbs trees and buries nuts in the ground?" And it was quiet for a couple of moments. And one little boy finally said, "Well, it sounds like a squirrel, but the answer you want is probably Jesus." Well, before I ask any questions this morning, I'm telling you the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Well, the questions begin with a man who has served as a hospital chaplain. Some of you have read his columns in the newspaper. Chaplains are often called in on crisis situations, and by crisis I mean a time for decision, not necessarily a life and death situation right at that moment. A crisis can be when a person has received a serious diagnosis, or a person is told that what can be done for the illness is limited, or that the procedure for the healing may be as bad as the illness itself. The two situations that the hospital chaplain wrote about in his column involved people who were not sure about salvation. One of them claimed to be an atheist. Now, as a pastor, I believe I should say that I do not know these patients the chaplain was talking to, and I really do not know what these people said to the chaplain. But I do need to know, and you need to know, the answer to any question about salvation. In discussions with some of the elders, we did not like the answers that the chaplain gave to these patients. I've already told you the answer to the question of salvation. What is the answer to the question of salvation? Jesus. You can say it with me. What is the answer to the question of salvation? Jesus. That's right. Very good. I got concerned that the chaplain did not say the answer was Jesus. At least I didn't read that in what the chaplain said. So I want to make sure that any answer I would give to someone is the answer Jesus. But what about Jesus is the answer? Some will say that believing in Jesus is the answer, and yet we read in God's word that the demons believed in Jesus and they were not saved. The demons said, "We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Holy One of God." It's in a couple of places in the Gospels. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Yes, Jesus was the Holy One of God. But the demons could never address Jesus as Savior. The demons would never call Jesus Savior. You and I want to call Jesus Savior. There's even an interesting report in the book of Acts about some Jewish men who were casting out evil spirits, and they were even using Jesus' name to try and cast the demons out. And the Bible says, one day the evil spirits answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" The evil spirit said, "I know who Jesus is, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Indeed, who are the unbelievers who want to do great works in Jesus' name without believing in Jesus? You might recall that strange report when Jesus could do few miracles because the people in his hometown of Nazareth took offense at Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. So believing in Jesus as a person who walked the earth, or even as the Holy One of God, may not be sufficient. But believing in Jesus as Savior, as Messiah, is the answer that Jesus is the key to a new life. We get many verses in John's Gospel book on believing in Jesus. And this statement, to believe in Jesus, is in the Bible reading for today, as I mentioned. It can be read one or two ways. Those are the predominant two ways. Jesus said, "Believe in God, believe also in me. Trust in God, trust also in me." And it's more than a statement. Jesus is giving a command. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And remember what's going on in the moments that Jesus says this. Jesus is with the disciples at the Last Supper. Jesus has just shared some harrowing news. Jesus has just told them that he is going to die. Jesus has told the disciples that he is leaving them. Jesus has told one of the disciples will betray him, and he turns to Peter and says, because Peter said in response, "I would never leave you, I'll even die for you," and Jesus turns to him and says, "Before dawn breaks, you will disown me three times." Since Jesus had proven himself correct about everything, Jesus said, because Jesus proved himself correct about everything that Jesus said, all of this news at one time must have struck terror in the hearts of the disciples. So now Jesus tries to calm the disciples' hearts, and Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Jesus tells them, "I'm going ahead of you." The Bible word usually used, we translate as forerunner. I think that's in the New Testament a couple of times. We in the Midwest might prefer the word pathfinder or trailblazer. Jesus is going to blaze a trail through death so we can follow. Jesus even states that he must do this. The word trailblazer is not in these verses that we're looking at, but when Jesus stated, I go, I leave you now in order to prepare a place for you, Jesus may have been hinting at other moments in Israel's history when God went ahead of the children of Israel, as they wandered in the desert, as they left Egypt and left slavery behind, as they came back to the land of Israel from their life as prisoners and as foreigners in Babylon. And even as the prophet Isaiah saw when Israel returned from being prisoner refugees in Babylon and returned to the land of Israel, the prophet Isaiah said, and Jesus said, that Jesus would lead people like sheep. Jesus shall also return from death to take the believer to the heavenly Father to abide with him forever. When we read these words, believe in me, trust in me, other translations, as I mentioned, will say trust in me. Hear what the Bible says about trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 12, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself has become my salvation. Isaiah chapter 25, we trusted in him, that is, we trusted in God, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Isaiah chapter 50. Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Trust Jesus. Believe in Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Trust Jesus to be your Savior. Believe in Jesus as your Savior. For when we say we believe in Jesus, we are usually saying more than simply claiming that Jesus walked the earth or even that Jesus is the Holy One of God. The question we ask to new followers here at Daleville Christian Church is based on Peter and Jesus' conversation about Jesus. When Jesus asked the question of Peter, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. Those are the same words, two different languages. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, that's a mouthful to say that. It means that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, that Jesus is from the Heavenly Father, that Jesus represents the Heavenly Father, and indeed Jesus is the Heavenly Father. Jesus will fulfill what Messiah came to fulfill. Jesus is Savior. And when we say that we believe, we are saying that we accept Jesus as our Savior. The word trust helps us understand what it is we mean. Or it helps us understand what we are doing when we say we believe. When we trust in Jesus, we are trusting our lives to Jesus. And we are trusting our deaths to Jesus. Jesus says he will save us. We are trusting Jesus that he will do exactly what Jesus says he will do. Save us. Be our Savior. Save us from death. Save us from God's wrath. Save us for a better life, a new life. And save us for a better death beyond physical death to a life eternal. And why will God do that in Jesus Christ? Because we trust that Jesus will save us. We don't have to wonder if we're good enough to save. It's a question Jesus never asked. Are you worthy of me to save you? Jesus never asked that question. It isn't what we have done that accounts for salvation. It's what Jesus did. Jesus will save us if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. Jesus will save us, not our deeds, not our words. The Bible says God looks upon the heart. What do our hearts say? Where is our trust? We don't have to worry about our behavior endangering our salvation because our behavior doesn't save us. Salvation isn't about what you do or didn't do. Salvation isn't about what you say or don't say. Salvation is about what Jesus did. Do you receive that? Do you accept that as salvation for you? Do you trust in Jesus? Remember the important answer. What is the important answer to the question about salvation? Jesus. Jesus is the important answer to the question of salvation. So any question about salvation, about heaven, about hell, about forgiveness, all turns back to Jesus. If anyone has any concerns about the afterlife, the answer is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is Savior? Jesus' name means Savior. He will save His people. Jesus saves. He saves. Do you believe that Jesus will save you? Will you trust Jesus on that? Or will you trust in something you have done? Jesus did not say, believe in yourself. Jesus said, believe in me. I am going ahead of you. Will you believe Jesus? Will you trust Jesus? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked. Whoever lives in me and believes in me shall never die. It isn't just saying, yes, Jesus exists. It's saying, I live in Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus and live in Jesus shall never die. So whenever the subject of death or heaven or salvation comes up, you know the answer. The short answer is Jesus. Amen.